Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday. This is the first time we've actually recorded on the actual day that we're releasing the podcast.
We were running a little bit late. We've had a busy week. I was up in Boston.
You were?
Yeah, I was starting rehearsals for Drowsy Chaperone. I have never been to Massachusetts before.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I mean, I've done a couple. I did a show in Cape Cod once, but the actual like Boston experience I find fascinating.
Are you like in Boston?
I'm in a place called Plymouth Beach.
Oh,
but which is where the Pilgrims landed. So I saw the Rock.
You saw the Rock,
which is actually kind of a pebble.
Oh,
have you ever seen it?
No,
it's very tiny. It's a very very tiny rock. It's not as big as you're expecting. And then the Mayflower is usually there, but the Mayflower is having renovations done to it and is gone. So Donna Murphy goes on for the Mayflower when the Mayflower is not around. But you know what I learned about people that live in Massachusetts, and it's not necessarily a negative thing? Everything is wicked awesome. Wicked. Yeah, wicked. Everything's wicked. How you doing? Hey, wicked good. Yeah. Everything's wicked. I was really? Kind of surprised. Yeah, like the only thing I'm a little concerned about is asking people who do theater, like, have you seen Wicked? Yeah, it's wicked.
Oh my god.
No, but how is Wicked? Yeah, wicked.
Wicked.
Yeah, brought my kids. Yeah, David. Yeah, wicked. Yeah. So I'm a little concerned, but I think I'll pick up on the language. I had a crab cake, which was amazing.
Did you now?
Yeah. So I'm enjoying my time in Plymouth Beach doing Drowsy Chaperone, which opens June 8th.
You're in New York right now because you came back again, and then you're going to head back out there again, I believe.
Correct.
So our next favorite thing will be, ostensibly, you'll be there.
Our next few favorite things will be on location in Boston.
You're going to have a good time.
Behind the Wicked Curtain. It's Broadway's Wicked Legends.
And you're directing Drowsy Chaperone.
I'm directing Drowsy Chaperone.
And strangely enough, you're not the man in chair, even though you have played that part before.
I have played the role of the man in chair before, and a very talented young actor who actually listens to our show, which was so nice to hear, named David Grosha, is playing man in chair. And David gave me a ride from the theater to the rehearsal hall, and guess what started blasting out of his car speakers?
Raindrops on roses and whiskers.
Oh, even better, not us, the Rink. So I'm like, we're gonna be just
fine. He planned that. He knew.
He knew. We're in that. Wicked good hands. Yeah. Yeah.
Bottle washer.
One of my favorites. Wicked. Doing what some cook and bottle washer does. That's a specific lyric.
It's a good lyric.
That's a specific lyric. That's a dummy lyric that just sort of stayed in there. Hey, by the way, I don't know if you've seen this. Have you seen on YouTube that original footage from the rink has popped up?
No. Yeah, it's funny because that sort of ties into my favorite thing, but not quite. But I have not seen... No, I didn't see that footage yet.
Okay,
I'll have to go look for that.
So very quickly, if you go to the channel Aurora Spider-Woman, that's the name of the channel.
Oh, I love this channel. I know this channel.
I know who that person is, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say. Anyway, so they posted some really great footage of Liza Minnelli and Chita Rivera in the rink. None of Stalker Channing doing it, which is a little disappointing because, you know, Stalker Channing took over for Liza Minnelli at some point.
Right.
And I would love to have seen Abigail Bartlett do colored lights. Beads and bleachers and colored lights. That's her yelling at Jed Bartlett. So we should probably talk about some things. First of all, we just wanted to send our condolences and our sympathy to the wonderful Ruthie Ann Miles, because she's going through a real, real tough time now. She's an incredibly sweet person and a strong person and a resilient person, but we are sending her all of our love and warmth, and we encourage you to send your prayers and good wishes to her as well.
Yes, indeed.
So we're going to keep her in the front of our minds for the next few weeks. And then, but on a more positive note, you and I got to see the last Encores show of their 25th season. We got to go see Me and My Girl together.
Me and my girl. It was a charming, sweet production. I had a great time.
It was one of the first musicals I had ever seen, and I don't think I had ever seen it since then.
So
it was
so
it was so nice to revisit it, and it was very charming. Christian Borle is a hard worker, and that sounds pejorative, and it doesn't. This man literally sweating bullets, doing everything he can to make things work, and they only have 2 weeks of rehearsal.
Yeah,
somebody was saying that they only spend 90 minutes on every number and every scene. So how they are able to pull anything off is beyond me. So go ahead.
No, and weren't they originally on script, Rob? I seem to remember the early ones, them carrying scripts around.
Yeah, when Encores first started, and that was, I think, Walter Bobby, who was the artistic director, they all wore tuxedos and evening gowns, were at microphones, and were on book. Everything was on book, and there was no staging, and there was no choreography. And then over time, that has sort of developed into fully blown productions. Now, an actor is allowed to still have their script if they want to. But they are not, if they want to put it down, they can.
Right. And if you don't want to be the only actor that's still on book, if everyone else is.
Well, I saw one of them where one of the actors was on book and people sort of just were snidely talking about it. And I'm like, they've had a day to put this show on. Like, come on, give the person a break.
The rules are set. I mean, you're supposed to use your book, but
you can use your book if you want to use your book. Then no one is forcing you except the snarkiness of the bitter old people like me in the back row. She only has 7 lines. You can memorize them.
And they came out with a new season as well. They announced that was a big deal.
Well, first of all, there was a little controversy about
there
that.
There was a little controversy.
Because for our listeners who are unaware, City Center announced their season, and Encores is part of their season. But City Center did not announce the Encores season in their first press release. So all it looked like was that City Center was doing, or Encores was doing, was a chorus line and Lady in the Dark.
Everyone scratching their heads thinking, well, this is a different direction.
And going, what? What? Facebook blew up. Original cast recordings email thread.
Right, because everyone sort of has opinions about what the season should be of City Center. You know, everyone has ideas, and everyone thinks it should be this or that. Bring the popular stuff, and then a chorus line. What?
So people went crazy, but then they made a correction. They were like, no, we're sorry. That was a mistake. So the season next year. Actually, I'm really happy with the season.
Me too.
I was so happy to see that. So congrats to Jack Fertel and Rob Berman for coming up with a great season. But the fall is going to be a chorus line fundraiser. Gala, which will be great because we haven't seen that show in New York for a while.
And so. Bob Avian is the original. I mean, he's setting it again, so you're getting.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I mean, I believe I read that.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. We should get him on this show.
I think so too.
And then their actual 3-show season is going to start off with Call Me Madam, Irving Berlin's Call Me Madam, which they had done at the beginning of Encores with Tyne Daly, like years and years and years ago.
Yeah,
so
in the early 90s, I want to say.
Yeah, like 94, 95. So they're bringing that back, which is great because I love that score. I think it's such a great, charming score. And then, of course, the big question is who's going to take on Ethel Merman's role? People are wondering like crazy. And then after that is going to be Rodgers and Hart's I Married an Angel, which is a very dance-heavy musical, and it's going to be directed and choreographed by Josh Bergas, who's a marvelous director-choreographer. And then the one I'm most excited about, because I've been waiting for this one to come onto Encores for years, so thank you, is High Button Shoes.
Papa, won't you dance with me?
Please dance with me. Yes.
Dance with me. I love it. I love that score. I Still Get Jealous. Great song.
I still get jealous when they look at you. So this is my audition. This is my. I hope you don't mind my self-taping.
No, it's great. I'm actually recording you right now. It's really great. It's a good work.
Great.
I'm really
proud of
you.
Just tell them I'm offer only. I'm just doing this as a courtesy, so they can see
dance though.
So they can see how great my dancing is. So that's the Encore season. What a great season. So
no, it is, and we've never really, you know, that cast recording of High Button Shoes. You know, if you remember, it's only like 25 minutes long. I mean, we're going to hear more material than we've ever heard of this show, not to mention that famous dance.
The Max Sennett Ballet. So that's going to be very exciting. I wonder if they're going to use the original choreography. I hope they do.
I hope so, too.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. So High Button Shoes, one of my favorites. Okay, so we've seen Me and My Girl. We've seen High Button Shoes. And now, is it time for our favorite things?
I do, but I think I just want to bring up one little controversial thing, and only because I just noticed it in my Broadway briefing. By the way, thank you. I still thank you every time I get that email because it's exactly what I wanted.
We love Broadway briefing.
Love it.
I think the guy who created it was upset when I was like, oh, it's very cold and clinical. He was like, I don't think he liked that, but I'm like, no, it's really a compliment because
that's exactly what
we kind of want. Yeah. It's or I should have said informative and to the point.
Well, interestingly enough, there was I saw an article about this community theater in Pennsylvania, the Palisade Playhouse of Pittsburgh, not to be confused with the Pepper Pot Players, but
fictional theater company.
They had to close down their production of Big Fish because of they were incorporating in the background of a scene a gay couple. And that became a controversial issue. The scene is not about that, and it was just they just wanted to represent that in the background. And I thought it was interesting because we have not talked about this, but in a future episode we're going to talk about how Escape from Margaritaville did the exact same thing on Broadway without commenting on it, not making it about that at all. It just was a part of the scene. And I just think it's sad and of note that this theater, the small little theater in Pittsburgh, did the same thing, and unfortunately things didn't work out for them.
I support that theater, or I support the people that came up with that decision, I should say, to actually include a gay couple in their ensemble and not comment on it. So shame on whoever decided to either pull that or say that's not going to fly because you are a dinosaur. I'm sorry, that's such an antiquated way of thinking. Like, there are gay couples out there.
Right, and the problem is that in the statement, they sort of made it seem like it was implying that it was immoral. You know, and then it's even more deplorable. But
unless there's sexual activity happening on stage,
no, I think it was a family. It was a family
behind. You know, be the hero of your story. Like if there's, then I'm like, well, that's just an odd creative choice. But I'm sorry. Get over yourself.
Shrek doesn't need that.
So shame on this theater company for saying that is not allowed to happen. You are dinosaurs, absolute dinosaurs.
My favorite things. What do you got?
Oh, Kevin.
Oh, Rob.
Okay, so I'm gonna just be very transparent with our listeners. Kevin introduced me to the wonders of this wonderful thing. But I'm going to celebrate a specific individual.
I'm just going to say thanks to Derek Kobe for leading us all to this this place.
Okay, my friends, here we go.
I can't believe we're doing this. I'm so excited.
But I think you're going to be happy with what I'm doing. So full disclosure, this is something that I've stolen from Kevin. There is a acting class that focuses specifically on song, monologue, and movement. It's in Culver City, California. And it used to be offered through the Culver City Adult School, but in 2015, it sort of moved away from that, and it's now at the Grace Lutheran Church, if you want to join. It's a weekday, Wednesday evenings for 10 weeks, and the new class is starting, it's starting September 13th, so you want to get on there. There's a woman named Kathy Gabriel Wallace, and she does a class that is specifically geared towards helping adults or children, whomever, but mostly adults, get better with their musical theater training. Now, these are individuals who don't do musical theater professionally. They just do it because they love it and they have a passion for performing. And there is absolutely nothing better than that. There's a lot of students out there. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Unfortunately, the way that most people know this school is because there was a very lovely lady named Anne Romalo, and she performed Gimme Gimme and Stars in the Moon. And it sort of made the rounds, and people were very snarky, and shame on them, because my feeling is if you have to be brilliant and perfect in your art in order to be snarky about other people's art. That is my opinion, and that is my thought.
Amen.
So, unfortunately, there was attention brought on to that because of Anne Romalo, but I'm like, good for you, Anne, you're living your best life. So what Kathy has these individuals do is they pick a song, and then they are told to write a monologue that somehow is tied into the theme of the song and perform the monologue beforehand. So there's lots of performers, and the channel that you want to go to is called Tartan Bobs, T-A-R-T-A-N-B-O-B-Z. One more time, T-A-R-T-A-N-B-O-B-Z. Now, there's lots of individuals on there that you can watch, like Anne Romalo, who does Stars in the Moon and Gimme Gimme, and I'm like, good for her for living her best life. I wish I had the guts to do that. I really do. But the woman, there's a specific woman that I want to talk about today who is in the class, because if you watch her throughout the years, because they've now categorized the videos by years.
They do. You go to playlists, and then you go to pick the year that you want, all the way back to 2003, 2004.
Her growth is kind of impressive, and so I think you can watch her growth. Her name is Helen Costa.
She's the older lady.
She is, I think, probably the oldest member of Kathy's group. Helen Costa is kind of a genius. I don't know how old Helen is, but she looks like a cross between Charlotte Ray and Olympia Dukakis.
Is she the other side of the tracks?
No. Oh, no, I'm going to go through her song list right here. Hold on. I'm holding it up for you.
Sorry.
The first video, song that Helen posted was from 2003, and she sang Falling in Love Again from The Blue Angel, which is the old Marlene Dietrich movie. Now, what makes this really impressive is Helen is up there in years, but she is wearing the shortest skirt I've ever seen anybody wear in my life, plus a garter and stockings, and she comes out and she straddles the chair like Marlene Dietrich. So that was her debut performance. You can start there. In 2004, she gave us some wicked tapping in Forget About the Boy, which was a group ensemble number, but they gave her the tap solo. And let me tell you, she kills it. And then, now very interesting, she was so good they let her do two songs in 2004. She did I'm Tired, which, as you know, is from Blazing Saddles, and also a parody of Marlene Dietrich. So I kind of appreciate that she's given us this little arc to look at from 2003, which I like a theme. There are other themes in Helen's work, especially that she hates men. A lot of her monologues that she's written about is how horrible her husband is and how she's killed her husband or she's killed her mistress. And that's sort of a recurring motif in Helen's work. But you can read all about that in my academic publication.
Your research paper on this.
I also want to applaud her because then not only does she do I'm Tired, she does Miss Otis Regrets.
A great Cole Porter song.
But I want to applaud her. Okay, so most people come out and their monologue is a little generic and it's a little bit storytelling. And as you know in acting, you're not supposed to do a monologue that's storytelling. You're supposed to be active in your monologue.
Right.
You're not supposed to be like, yes. You're not supposed
to
be like, yes, exactly. But for Miss Otis Regrets, she plays this old Southern woman who is very upset that Miss Otis has not shown up at all to the party. And then all of a sudden, the maid, Ellie Mae, comes in and tells Helen, that Miss Otis will not come. Now, you might ask yourself, well, of course, they probably had an extra member come up and play Ellie Mae. No. Helen plays both roles.
Nope.
She plays not only the woman waiting for Miss Otis, she also plays the great Ellie Mae. And she does that thing where she, like, is talking as Miss Otis, and then she, like, walks to the other side of the stage and looks, and she's Ellie Mae. She's kind of a genius like that. Okay, so
I don't think I've seen that one.
Okay, well, now here's where I'm a little concerned, because 2005, there are no videos of her, so I don't know if she was taking the class then. But in 2006, she does a great song called Memories, which is about her murdering her husband. She's on trial for murder of her husband. And I should mention also, in Miss Otis Regrets, because she doesn't show up because Miss Otis is having an affair with a dirty, dirty man. So Helen and men don't really seem to do well together. 2007, she's also on a break. I don't know where she was at that time. Maybe she was on tour. And then 2008, my favorite, she sings the song Some of These Days. Some of these days, you're going to miss my hugging. You're going to miss my... Okay, usually light.
Light. It's a lighter fare. Yeah.
Her monologue beforehand is her showing up to her husband's mistress's penthouse, shooting the mistress, then calling the police saying, come get me. It's a little darker. It's a little darker because somebody else, I think, sang I'm Just Wild About Harry, but did it as a Harry Potter fan. So while everyone else is going comic and light, Helen has a real nice dramatic undertone. Now, I want to applaud Helen here for something. She has issues with a phone. She has issues with the phone. She uses a phone as a prop.
Yeah.
And her direction was not to look at the phone when she was putting the receiver back in the cradle. And it causes some issues, but I applaud Helen because she finally gets that receiver back in the cradle, but she never looks at it. 2009, she's also not around. 2010, she gives us Lonely at the Top, which is actually very touching. And then she does a song called What Can You Get a Nudist for Her Birthday? And she actually strips in the number and does a bump and grind, which is a little odd because the nudist in the birthday it's her sister, not her. But she has no problem getting naked as well. So I say good for Helen. I think it's nice to change up what the audience is expecting. 2011, she gives us The Lady is a Tramp. Then she gives us a song called The Glory of Love, which is about her monologue beforehand is about a woman being ignored because her husband is so much smarter than her. 2012 is A Shine on Your Shoes. 2013 is You and Me, where she sings about being in the Easter parade. And then a personal favorite of mine, the last video of her that we know is from 2014, and she once again returns to her favorite Some of These Days, but this time with a different monologue attached to it. So she's rewritten. She knows. She could have easily gone on there and done the same crap again, but she knows. Helen knows. So I really want to applaud Helen, but to be honest with you, take a look at her Lonely at the Top. It's from 2010. It really is kind of amazing. And one of the things that I applaud about Helen is there's actual growth in this acting class.
10 years. Literally 10 years of watching this.
You watch this woman for 10 years. And like I said, she starts off and it's kind of funny and silly and a little generic. And then at the end, she's actually breaking your heart with a song called Lonely at the Top. So congrats to Helen Costa from this wonderful class in Culver City. There's a lot of other videos on there. People laugh at them. My feeling is you know what? God bless for going out and spreading the joy of musical theater and inhabiting the world of musical theater.
Amen. But bringing us joy too.
But my favorite thing is the one and only Helen Costa.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Well done, my friend.
And
well done.
What is your favorite thing, friend?
Oh, man. My favorite thing is a YouTube clip. I've been really big into the YouTube lately. Sutton went away for DragCon. She's finally back. She had a great time with Sasha Velour. But now she's I have all these YouTube clips that I was able to enjoy while she was away. The first I would like to talk about in this episode is an episode of the Dinah Shore show. I don't know a lot about Dinah Shore, I have to be honest with you. I know that she was more of a radio voice, that she was she's got a nice lighter timbre to her voice. She's fine. But in this episode,
white bread and mayo is what I like to say about Dinah Shore. White bread and
pretty,
mayo.
Yeah, it's very of her generation. But on this episode, it's Kandern Ebb and Liza Minnelli. So you are to type in Dinah Shore show, Kander, Ebb, Liza. First thing that'll pop up. It's an hour and 17 minutes. It's a full episode. You'll get little blackouts when they go to commercial, and then it'll just fast forward the 20 seconds and you'll get to the next thing. It's absolutely fascinating. Now, we've talked a lot about how I really enjoy, or we both enjoy, these shows of the past because they're not precious. None of the actors or guests on these shows or hosts were precious about what they were talking. You really get a sense of who these people were. Nowadays, when you see people on shows, they've got a publicist, they've got all the – they're really careful about making sure they don't say something that's going to go viral or they do or whatever. But I love how raw – everyone was on these older variety shows. So on this episode, it's 1975. It's Chicago is just getting known, is just about to be done. The movie Lucky Lady is just about to come out, where they had written the song for Lucky Lady that starred Liza Minnelli.
I don't know that movie.
And then they sing a lot of their hits. So and a couple things to look out for. Both amusing and entertaining and insightful. Fred Ebb sings a lot of the songs. You're not gonna get a lot of Liza. It's a tribute to Candor and Ebb. And it's interesting that the first song is Fred Ebb singing Liza with a Z, while Liza sits and watches him sing it, which is kind of interesting choice. That's fine. And then Dinah is pretty tofu as a host. They are so much more energetic than she is. So every time they cut to her and she asks a question, it's like she has no idea who these people are.
Is it the set where she's sitting in all that wicker furniture?
I have to give them credit for this hour and 17 minutes. They are all over. They thought this episode out. Mm. They start with them sitting on the wicker furniture, and then all of a sudden, after the commercial break, they're all seated behind the piano. So it's Dinah, Fred, Liza, and then John at the piano. John Candor at the piano. But then when Liza sings, it sounds like a karaoke track of A Quiet Thing, bossa nova style. You know, this is the 70s that we like to reorchestrate things. So she sings It's a Quiet Thing behind the piano, bossa nova style, with a live orchestration that sounds like karaoke. It's very awkward, the chat that Dinah has with them. They finally they sing Sing Happy, but instead of it as a solo, it's Liza, Fred, Dinah, and they each take half a verse. so it's so entertaining because Liza is at a 12 constantly. I mean, she's like, sing me a happy song about robins in spring. Fred, sing me a happy song with a happy ending. Dinah, sing me some cheerful rotel. I mean, it's so boring.
You've seen Dinah do the Ladies Who Lunch, right?
Oh, it's like, Dinah, wake up. You're on. She's your turn to sing. I mean, she is so boring after the other two. But they don't vary it. They literally just take a line, take a line, take a line for the whole song. And then they all sing happy as like this horrible unison. It's very strange but kind of entertaining. Dinah then sings My Coloring Book, which is probably one of the most boring versions of it ever. But right after that, she says, oh, they talk about this amazing performer that they all know and love named Gwen Verdone. She mispronounces Gwen Verdon's name.
Who, Dinah?
Yes. She keeps saying Verdone, and it's just so weird.
And Gwen really, Verdone. Really funny.
But the big highlight of this episode, because ostensibly this was filmed in L.A., Cheetah shows up and surprises them all. So Cheetah Rivera shows up, but they honestly don't know. Liza loses her shit. I mean, she completely loses it, starts crying. Fred starts crying. They're all like hugging each other. I mean, it is very, very, very authentic. They talk about Chicago and how amazing it is. They sing Nowadays. And it is like a masterclass watching Liza sing these songs. And Cheetah as well. That Liza sings Nowadays. No, what does she sing? Oh, How Lucky Can You Get? And I'm impressed by how she fills the air in a song. I think it's a lesson to all young singers, how to keep it active even when you're not singing. And then Fred, of course, sings Mr. Cellophane. And they basically are introducing these songs to the public. We take for granted how well we know all these songs, but this is the first time a lot of people were hearing these songs. I just want you to check out the awkward conversation at the end that Dinah has with Cheetah and Liza. Dinah is so clearly a fish out of water with these showbiz people. And watching her attempt to relate to them and connect with them is fascinating. But overall, I think this is such a beautiful celebration of Candor and Ebb, and you hear them talk about their work, and they've only written like three or four shows at this point. Their career, they haven't written New York, New York yet. They haven't written any of the other great hits like The Rink, like we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. But you see them really at the start of their careers, or the first, you know, 8 years of their career, and just how excited they are to share this music with the world, and how the excitement, I mean, maybe with a little help, but Liza has a boundless energy, yeah. And she really is in peak form here. She had just done Liza with the Z, and you can just, it's just great. It's just really, really fun to see these performers. And they mess up. I mean, Liza misses her entrance, Dinah misses her entrance, they mess up the words, but I like that it's not perfect. I like that it is raw and messy, and the way that theater actually is, you know, it's not perfect. So I would check out this 1975 episode of the Dinah Shore Show with Cantor and Ebb, a tribute with Liza and Cheetah on it.
Amazing. And mine, once again, it's Helen Costa, but you're going to go to a channel called Tartan Bobs, TartanBobz. It's organized by year. You will find Helen Costa.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I am eternally grateful. All right.
Thank you.
Till next time, when I'll be on location from Boston.
Yeah, that's right. Boston, where it's wicked.
Where it's wicked, Boston, yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.